Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of Elijah. And remember, this came out of what we were studying in James, where we saw that Elijah is a man like us, or was a man like us. Though that's sort of an interesting little faux pas of the tongue right there. He is a man like us. He was a man like us. So anyway, some interesting things related to that. We're up to 1 Kings now in the 21st chapter. And we've spent the last couple episodes seeing what happened with King Ahab, in particular in relationship to Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, and what he was doing in coming against Israel and King Ahab. So 1 Kings 21 says this: "Now it came about after these things." So it's after all this stuff that happened. Well, what happened was the Lord gave Israel victory. He gave Ahab victory. And so God told him, "I'm going to do this to where you will know that I am God." Well, he does. But then at the end, Ahab messes up because he does not devote to destruction the king that the Lord had devoted to destruction, Ben-Hadad. He let him go. He struck a covenant with him, a relationship with him, and he let him go. And God told Ahab, "Send another son of the prophet," and says, "Because you have done this, then you're going to die and your people are going to die." So it's after these things. That's what it means now. After all this happened. So here we go again. 1 Kings 21, verse 1. "After these things, that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel beside the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria." So here's Ahab. He's the king of Samaria. He's the king of Israel. He's got a palace. And there's a vineyard that it goes up to his property there. And this vineyard's owned by Naboth. Verse 2, "Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, 'Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it's close beside my house, and I will give you a better vineyard than it in its place. If you like, I will give you the price of it in money.'" And so the king comes to Naboth and says, "Hey, I want to buy your vineyard right here. And I'll trade you, you know, I'll give you a better vineyard than this. You know, if you don't want that, I'll give you money for it." And he tells him why he wants it. He wants it to plant a vegetable garden. There's nothing wrong with vineyards. There's nothing wrong with vegetable gardens, okay? We all appreciate both of them, okay? Nothing wrong with them. But there's something significant going on here. So let's continue verse 3. "But Naboth said to Ahab, 'The Lord forbid me that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers.'" So this was a land that had been given all the way back to when the promised land had been portioned out among the tribes and among the families. So this was an inheritance land. This was land that was owned by his father. And he says, "No, the Lord forbid me that I should do this." Okay. Now, that's sort of interesting. Is it that the Lord did forbid him? Because the Lord said that this land would remain in the family. But you see places where people give land to somebody. There's somebody that gave land to David. David wanted to buy some land. He said, no, I'm giving it to you. I think there may be a little more here because, let me read it again. "The Lord forbid me that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers." Let me see what the other translations say. Here's the English translation. "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my father." The Lexham says, "Far be it from me, from Yahweh." That's sort of clunky, isn't it? "Far be it from me, from Yahweh, that I should give the inheritance of my ancestors to you." I think he's basically saying is that God has forbidden me to do this, that I would give it to you. And I think that "to you" is sort of emphasized because of the kind of king that Ahab was. Okay? We've seen already what I, you know, sort of not quite flippantly but inadequately describe as a king who is a wimp, okay? And one who does not stand for what the Lord says he should do, does not follow the instructions and the commandments of the Lord, and is just blown here and there by every wave that comes his way. And so we've seen that in him. And now we see him being actually a little more foolish than anything. Well, why is that? What's so foolish about what he's requesting? It takes years. It takes years for a vineyard to develop and for a vineyard to grow and for a vineyard to produce. It only takes a season for a vegetable garden to grow. Now, yes, preparing the soil for a vegetable garden, et cetera, you may do better after a couple of seasons. Yes, I understand that. But generally speaking, it's a one-season kind of thing. And here is Ahab in his short-sightedness, in his desire for just the moment, in his desire for wanting to be fulfilled right now. For apparently his desire of not wanting to walk too far, because he says, hey, I want this property because it's close to my house, that he wants to tear down this vineyard, which had taken years, and if decades, if not generations, from what, you know, Naboth says, is, hey, this has been my inheritance of my fathers, that he wants to cut down these vines and to plant a vegetable garden. That's aside from the fact that vegetable gardens are far more adept at growing in different types of soils and circumstances and weather and climate, et cetera, et cetera. If you're in an environment where there is a thriving, good possibility for a vineyard, man, I tell you what, you do that vineyard thing. You know, if you've only got limited land and a choice between vineyard and food, then divide it up, right? Whatever. But we're seeing that Ahab is just sort of, we think, well, what is this all about? Well, verse 4, I think, gives us more insight. So Ahab came into the house, sullen and vexed. Now, this dude, he's the king, right? And that sullen means that he was being implacable, that he's being stubborn, that he's resentful. He's irritated about this, okay? Because of what's happening. One definition is he's peeved, okay? And it's like a state of depression, and he's mad about something. And vexed. Vexed means he's angry. Angry, out of humor. He's run out of humor. So he's sullen, he's vexed, he's angry with this because of the word which Naboth, the Jezreelite, had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and ate no food. Now you begin to see why I describe Ahab the way I do. Here he is. He's the king, folks. He's the king, and he's now sullen, and he's vexed, and he's mad because this one guy will not allow him to buy his property, will not allow him to do what he wants to do to the vineyard. But then it says that he's really sullen and vexed because of the word that he spoke. I will not give you the inheritance of my father. Because here is just your basic Northern Kingdom Israelite who is adhering to the word of God, and saying, no, I'm not going to do what God tells us not to do. We're to keep this land in the family. I'm not going to do this. And I'm not going to do it especially to you. I'm especially not going to do this because of the kind of king you are. What does the king do? He lays down his bed, turns his face away from everybody and faces the wall apparently, and he ate no food. He acted like a 3-year-old. You think, well, where is this going to go? More than likely, you're familiar with the story, but are you familiar with the details that set up the story? Our time's out for today, so we'll have to continue the account later. But in the meanwhile, folks, receive from the Lord. Receive what the Spirit is saying to you in these accounts right here. May we not be as Ahab. Again, I'm Dale. I'll see you again next time.